Great. Thank you, Amber. Thank you for calling in, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you also, Sharman Aptoresel, for coming in while you're in KBOO and discussing this very interesting subject. And again, if people want to learn more about your work, your website, if they
have
computers.
Right. It's www.sharmanaptoresel.com. SharmanAptoresell.com. Yeah.
Thank you very much. This has been Political Perspectives. Thanks to Tammy for engineering. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia coming up on KBOO Portland.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre is with us. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, host Dennis Bernstein talks with student debt strikers and organizers with anti-nuclear activist Harvey Wasserman about new revelations and earthquake dangers and the future of California's Diablo Canyon nukes. At 11 o'clock, the Recovery Zone. Today, host Stephanie Potter speaks with futurist educator and author Barbara Max Hubbard about conscious evolution, awakening the power of our social potential. And we're going to get to all of that in just a moment. We have one message to listen to, and then we're going to get right to Air Cascadia. Thanks for tuning into KBOO this morning, KBOO.fm.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of a live performance by West African artist Alpha Yaya Diallo on February 28th at 9 p.m. at the historic Bob White Theater in Portland. Diallo is the three-time winner of the Canadian Juno Music Award, and his performance ends the celebrations of Black History Month. Again, that's West African artist Alpha Yaya Diallo, Saturday, February 28th at 9 p.m., at the historic Bob White Theater, 6423 Southeast Foster Road in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Today, we continue the conversation begun yesterday with John Kiriakou, the CIA officer, highly regarded, who decided to take the ultimate risk for a CIA officer and defy his handlers, his overlords, and speak openly on the television about torture and the fact that America, land of the free and home of the brave, uses torture on prisoners. We continue with John Kiriakou's account of his own experiences in prison, which was not a sort of a country club situation at all. He was in the sort of prison that one thinks of when one thinks of the very worst of the worst. And now we continue. This is something I want to make very clear to listeners. That a lot of people think, well, you know, John Kiriakou is very big, seriously, highly regarded at one time, a member of the Insiders Club. He was one of the home team, so to speak. I think a lot of people would imagine that the people of your stature would go to some kind of, you know, club fed, some sort of country club type of a prison situation. But you didn't. You were in there in, you know, the real thing.
Well, oh, yeah. Yeah, I went to a real prison.
No kidding
and
around.
And I was surrounded by murderers and child molesters and drug cartel kingpins and really some of the worst people in society. This was a real prison. There was nothing club fed about it at all.
So, well, you know, the old joke is, hey, kid, what are you in for? And you say, whistleblower. And they go.
Yeah, I know. It was the craziest thing. Because most people don't even know what that means. When I first got to prison on the first day, a friendly prisoner came up to me and said, look, you don't want to sit with the child molesters. There's a table that we have where we ban child molesters and informants. So all you have to do is show your sentencing document, and you can sit at what's called the good table. So I went to the so-called shot caller of the good table, the person who runs the good table, and I showed him my court documents, and where it says crime committed, it says violating the Intelligence Identities Protection Act of 1982. And he looked at me and he said, what in the world does that mean? And I said, well, I blew the whistle on torture, and I was charged for it. And he looked at me and he said, but you're not a child molester, right? And I said, no, I'm not a child molester. And he said, did you inform on anybody? And I said, no, never. I'm not a rat, and I was the only person in my case. And he said, well, welcome to the table. He didn't even understand what whistleblowing meant. And it was over the period of the next 6 or 8 months where people came to hear stories about my case that they began opening up to me. And really, ironically, it was the Italians. And when I say the Italians, I mean members of organized crime who really took to me the most and became my closest friends. And it's because, you know, members of New York's five organized crime families are really very patriotic people, and they really dislike the FBI. Well, I'm a patriot, and I dislike the FBI, and we ended up getting along very, very well.
Of course, of course, natural affinity. And you could also, you could tell, no, I'm not a rat, but, but I expose rats on television.
That's right.
It's awful. You have to laugh, or you know, or you want to punch a hole in the wall. Speaking at least from my point of view, I'm sure. But in the few minutes that we have left, I wanted to ask you about some of these the USA Patriot Act and some of the other legal antics that the NSA and the CIA and others of these many and proliferating constantly organizations that are designed to make people's lives miserable by denying them any trace of privacy at all, anywhere. So we have passed laws that a lot of people, some of the blissfully unaware of, that constitute legal time bombs that lurk in the future. We may be all just fine right now, but depending on the tilt of future governments, a lot of lovely law-abiding citizens could find themselves in deep, deep and mysterious trouble. Trouble that's very difficult to back out of because of some of the legislation coming down the pipeline right now.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, interestingly enough, this is something that Democrats and Republicans can work together on. But they're not going to do it unless the American people demand it. I would urge all American citizens to contact their members of Congress and their senators to demand repeal of the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act has to come up for renewal every year or two. At least elements of it have to come up for renewal every year or two. And recently, in just the last 2 or 3 years, those votes have actually been very close. So this is a chance for us to really reclaim some of our civil liberties that we've lost since September 11th. But we have to force the issue. We have to demand of our elected officials that they take our own opinions into consideration when voting on these renewals. In the meantime, you're also right about new legislation being proposed or sponsored, particularly in the House of Representatives, that would further erode our civil liberties. That's something we have to be very, very wary about. I don't want NSA to have access to my encrypted emails. I don't want NSA to have access to my encrypted Word documents, where they can just turn on my computer remotely and take my documents off my computer without a search warrant, without the evidence of any crime having been committed. I mean, this is the United States. We're supposed to be a country of laws. We're supposed to be a country with a living and breathing constitution. But really, since September 11th and the passage of the Patriot Act, that constitution hasn't been respected. And this is something, like I said, that both Democrats and Republicans can agree on and can work together on.
Well, yeah, you'd think, too, that the Republicans who constantly, it's always, the Constitution, we've forgotten the Constitution, we have to, resuscitate the Constitution. Well, there you go, boys, have at it, because now's the time, if there ever was a time, to support constitutional rights. This is it. And just, I think that some parts of the USA Patriot Act, Section 215, I believe, is coming up for review again in June. And the political climate at that point, I guess there's no way of knowing, but the way things look, it would certainly behoove everyone to be in touch with them, with their congresspeople right now, and encourage them very strongly to roll this thing back while we still have a chance. Was never supposed to be permanent. Never. But I wanted to ask you, finally, before we do let you go, anything else that you would like to say to the listeners right now?
Oh, thank you. One thing that I never gave 5 seconds of thought to until I went to prison was day-to-day life in our prison system. We have a system that is broken. It's overcrowded. It's racist. Medical care is so poor that people routinely die of treatable illnesses. Disease spreads very easily because of overcrowding. The United States has 5% of the world's population and 25% of the world's prison population. One out of every four African-American men in our country is incarcerated on probation or on parole. It's an inexcusable system. And Congress, meanwhile, creates 50 new crimes every single year. We don't need new crimes. We need fewer crimes. We need shorter sentences, and we need for overcrowding to be dealt with. It's a disaster waiting to happen. In the meantime, there's no training that goes on in prisons. There's no way to get a certification or to get a degree. There's no therapy. There's no nothing. So what you have is prisoners practically living on top of each other through overcrowding, doing their time, and getting out, where they're angry and they're poor and they have nothing to lose. And that's why they reoffend. And that's something that really needs to be dealt with.
And it's something that one only really knows if one has experienced it, and as you have. And it's important for people to understand that John Kiriakou did not do time in a penthouse. This was serious. On that final note, going forward, what are you planning to do now?
Well, I'd like to end up at a think tank here in Washington, and I think I'm well down that path. And I'd like to write, speak, and teach about torture and torture policy, national security policy, and prison reform, issues that are very, very important to me now.
And torture does, in fact, go on in American prisons and has been going on for some time. I mean, solitary confinement, especially for young offenders, has been recognized as...
I think an argument can be made that solitary confinement in many ways is torture.
It is, yes.
People certainly lose their minds in solitary confinement. It happens all the time. And then by the time they get out, they're unable to even participate in their own appeals.
Sure, that's the one way of keeping people quiet. One way that this crime against humanity has been allowed to continue for so long is because people are silenced by it.
That's right.
Their power. Yeah, it's a huge issue in this country. So you're going moving ahead. Probably you probably write a book, and that would be terrific.
Well, actually, yeah, I made great use of my time in prison, and I wrote two books. I hope to have both of them to my editor in the coming 3 or 4 weeks, and I hope that they'll be out by the fall. The first one is based on my open letters from Loretto. I hope to provide even more detail and more background than I was able to provide in those open letters. So I'm optimistic I can have two books coming out from this experience.
Do you want to let listeners know where they can read letters from Loretto right now online? I mean, it's...
Yes, they're on the website firedoglake.com. Just click on the dissenter, and they're all listed there.
Yeah, it's all there. It's extraordinary reading, amazing. So meanwhile, torture does go on, and despite efforts on the part of many, many people around the world to have it stopped, the U.S. still has its black sites, and torture does continue, even though we know it doesn't work. One final thought from you on that.
Well, I would very much like to take the president at his word that that the black sites no longer exist. I don't know that to be the case. They very well may still exist. But this is where we need strong congressional oversight. We certainly didn't have it among the Democrats when the Democrats were in charge in the Senate.